Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Readers were enthralled with Gail Forman's If I Stay books, and now she's captivated them again as they fall in love with her characters in just one day. It's the first of a duo, and in it we're brought into a world of Shakespeare, borrowed identities, and the crushing and exhilarating feelings of first love found and lost.
I like to say that Allison and I have pretty different stories, but there's one key element where we converge, and that's that travel changes both of us, I think, from the people we were on our way to becoming to the people we do become. And for me, it happened when I was 16, and sort of I uncharacteristically made this decision to become an exchange student in England. I was not very adventurous up until that point. And I went away for a year and had this kind of amazing year, and came back from that and decided I wanted to keep traveling. So instead of going to college, I informed my parents I'd be attending the University of Life. And I took off for three more years of traveling and wound up living in Amsterdam for much of it. And it's kind of really set me on a different path than I think I would have gone on had I not done that year. And so that really infused Allison's story. She has this very kind of regimented life. She hasn't reflected much on what she wants. It's all kind of been set out for her. And then she is on this trip, which is very much like her life, very regimented, very scheduled, and she makes uncharacteristic leap and takes a day in Paris, and it really changes the trajectory of her life.
And that scheduled life that she leads, I mean, she really has a helicopter mother.
Yes. And I think, you know, there are those parents out there. There are the parents, and I think her mom means well. I don't mean to paint her as a villain. I saw one blogger describe the mom not as a villain, but as an antagonist, and I think that that is correct. This mom, and you find out the mother's reasons as you read along, she really, really, really wants the best for her daughter, and her way of giving the best for her daughter is to do this, and I've seen this with some of the moms that I have around me, where they were perhaps professionals, and then they had children, and they almost professionalized their parenting. And that's what happened with Allison's mom. And Allison's the product of that.
Allison has been collecting clocks since she can remember, and it's something that her mother is very aware of and finds these clocks for her. So I find that those ticking clocks is really just ticking away every single minute and second that has been planned out in Allison's life.
Right. I mean, the fact that she doesn't even remember liking the collecting of the clocks. Like, it's not something she had an interest in, but it was just something her mom helped her cultivate. And then this feeling of feeling time passing and ticking all the time, which I very much feel myself. I think a lot of us in the busy world do feel the kind of pressure of time. There's a scene where there's this boat captain, he talks about time being fluid, and Allison doesn't get that at first because it feels very much solid and weighing down on her. And I think that that's something a lot of people, whether they're in Allison's shoes or just busy trying to juggle life, they feel very, very strongly.
And the beautiful parallels that you draw in this novel with Shakespeare and Allison's life and the events that are unfolding just in that one day is amazing. And all it took was one outdoor performance by Gorilla Will of Twelfth Night.
Yes, and that was kind of a surprise for me. I didn't realize that the Shakespeare component was going to be such a kind of theme that runs through the book, but I wanted Allison to be in this very touristy place in the beginning of the book, so I set her in Stratford-upon-Avon in England. And of course, if she was there, she was going to be seeing some Shakespeare. And then all of a sudden, the love interest showed up, and he was in this very kind of cool underground troupe of thespians, and they were doing this performance of Twelfth Night. And I thought that would be the end of it. But then it turned out to keep going, because as I was researching for the book, I went to a number of plays, including a Royal Shakespeare Company production of As You Like It. They were putting that up here in New York. And I sat there the entire time with my heart in my throat. It was just so intense and romantic and funny and sexy. And then when I went to read it, it was so completely resonant and had so many parallels with the story I was thinking of. So it wound up really kind of weaving its way, not just into Just One Day, but also into Just One Year, which is Willem's story, which comes out later this year.
That's so funny, because As You Like It is the very first Shakespearean play I'd ever seen.
It was fantastic. I couldn't believe it. There was a part when I was sitting down and reading it line for line, because there's a section in the book where Allison's kind of coming out of a depression, and her guidance counselor at college has persuaded her to try some different courses. She has all these pre-med classes. She's been thinking she's going to go to med school since she was little, and so she has these slate of classes. It's not really working for her. Her guidance counselor suggests she try some other classes, and one of them winds up being the Shakespeare class, and I knew there was going to be kind of a pivotal scene there. But when I sat down to look at the text of As You Like It and what Allison was going through, I was flabbergasted, because it had seemed to me almost that it had been written specifically for my story. And I know that sounds very self-centered, but it really just shows how transcendent and timeless Shakespeare's work is. And it was just one of those kind of little magical miracles that sometimes happens when you're writing, where something just works so perfectly. It seems like you wrote it around that, but in fact, it just slotted in so perfectly.
I love how Allison says, "What is this, Gladiator Shakespeare?"
I know. Professor Glennie is a professor that I would have liked to have had. But I kind of agree with his, I mean, obviously I wrote the professor that I would like to have because I would like to take that class. To sit and read Shakespeare, if you've never seen or heard it, it's kind of difficult. It can be kind of dry. I know there's some people who are perfectly happy to sit down and read a play, but a play is something that once you see it, I mean, I always find that when I go to a Shakespearean play, there's about 5-10 minutes that it takes for my ear to kind of adjust, and then it does, and especially if it's a good production, then you're completely into the language, even though half the things you don't really understand, but you're into it. It's like all of a sudden your ear clicks and you get the language. It's much harder to do that, I think, when you're sitting reading. So the idea that you should hear Shakespeare out loud, I love. And I have friends here who are in a Shakespeare group, and they get together once a month and they read a play out loud. And that's sort of where the idea came from.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. The one theme that is also going through the book is the line between faking and being, and Dee, who is a classmate of Allison's, says, "Ain't such a line between faking and being." And it's so true, especially how we first meet Allison and she takes on this alternate persona because Wilm decides to call her Lulu.
This is the thing. In Allison's day in Paris, she's falling in love. She's falling in love with Paris. She's falling in love with Willem, but more than anything, she's falling in love with Lulu. Willem says she looks like Louise Brooks. He calls her Lulu. That's the name he knows her by. And for Allison, who doesn't even know who Louise Brooks is, she becomes this idea of Lulu, and she loves this version of herself. And then she wakes up and Willem is gone, and she has to kind of come home and deal with the fact that she's not Lulu. She's Allison. But Dee's point is, if you were faking that girl, she's in there somewhere. And it's just kind of a matter of figuring out how to bring that person out. If you faked her, you are her. So I kind of believe that.
With this book, as well as If I Stay and Where She Went, I always feel like I'm coming home again when I read your characters.
What a lovely thing to say.
And for you, when you were writing them, how conscious are you when you are creating and you are writing these characters, in the sense of making them old friends to the readers?
I feel like I occupy my characters when I write a book, and it's a very different experience in different books. Strangely, with If I Stay, it was kind of an ecstatic space to be in, even given what Mia was going through. She was surrounded by so much love that it was just kind of a beautiful place to write. And when I was writing Where She Went, it was a much kind of darker, thornier place to be because I was Adam. And so again, with Allison, it was tricky because especially in the beginning of the book, I didn't love this girl. I kind of felt bad for her, and I wanted her to kind of toughen up and stand up to her mother. So this was an interesting situation where I felt sympathy for a character, but she's not somebody who I would want to be best friends with, but I really kind of rooted for her all along. So it was an interesting space to be in. And now I'm in Willem's headspace because I'm writing his book. So yeah, I really think that I get... It's almost like a form of method acting, and it can make me intolerable to be around, I think, for my family, but perhaps it translates onto the page.
It absolutely does, and I can't imagine being in Willem's head, just in the pure fact, he's such a Lothario, completely opposite of Allison.
Well, We will see more. I'm going to hold my comments about Willem until that book comes out. But needless to say, as we discovered in just one day, there's more to people than meets the eye.
That there is. And when Allison comes home, you had said that she is depressed and she's in her first year of college. And everything changes, especially when you're moving from high school and then leaving your family and your friends. And she's already seen this change happen with her best friend, Melanie.
Right. I mean, everybody is going through these changes. Melanie is determined to transform herself. So she goes through kind of a series of transformations through the year. But for Allison, that first year is so hard, in part because, you know, she came back from Paris bereft, having lost not Willem, but having also lost Lulu. But it's more when she gets to college, I think she realizes she's been sold a bill of goods. That she's kind of been promised all of this stuff and been sold that this is the way it should be, and she's starting to realize it's counterfeit. It's not what she wants.
She wants tabula rasa.
Yes, she wants a clean slate. She wants to kind of draw on her own slate. She wants to make her own mistakes.
And not mistakes according to her mother.
Well, her mother wouldn't want her to make any mistakes, but yes. She wants to kind of chart her own path. And I think, you know, her mother probably wants that for her as well. And her mother, I think, thinks she's helping her to do that, but has some blinders on that doesn't allow her to see just how much she's actually controlling her daughter.
And I think Allison's putting a lot of pressure on herself because she is an only child.
Right. And her parents perhaps wanted more. And so Allison kind of feels the burden of being the only one, the heir and the spare, and she really wants to, you know, make good by her parents and do them proud, and needs to kind of figure out the way to do that that doesn't mean completely compromising her own true self.
Well, the name of the book is Just One Day. It is the first in a duo. Gail, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure to be here.
Again, the name of Gail Forman's novel is Just One Day. It is published by Dutton. And you can meet Gail this Sunday, February 3rd, at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck, New York. For more information, visit our website, wamc.org. For The Roundtable, I'm Katie Britton. I belong with you. You belong with me.